For me, the moment that changed everything for the Packers was the day Reggie White signed the free agent contract with the Packers. Everything changed on that day. He was the first big-time free agent. The collective bargaining finally allowed free agency. Reggie White was the name. And nobody thought he would come to Green Bay. That wasn't even in the picture. Dallas, Los Angeles, New York, a big market was going to get Reggie White. When Reggie White said it was okay to live in Green Bay, well, it was okay for everybody. If it's okay for the Minister of Defense to live in Green Bay, it's okay for anybody. My name is Dave Sinekin. I'm the proud host of Packer Preview, a weekly radio show on the home of the Minnesota Vikings, KFAN in the Twin Cities. Been lucky enough to do it for more than 20 years. Be that voice for Packer fans in enemy territory, week in and week out.
Here's the cheesehead. I mean, the head cheese himself, Dave Sinekin.
We are back on Packer Preview, getting set for a big game tonight. Packers and Vikes, primetime NBC, and you'll hear it right here on The Fan, of course. The Packer offense is poised to make a big point tonight at U.S. Bank Stadium.
My brother David is incredibly laid back. He is very witty, funny, fun to be around.
He's, I wouldn't say comedic, but he knows how to have fun with it too.
I'm almost as much of a fan of Dave as the Packers. I mean, the Packers are the best. Dave is right up there.
Being in the Twin Cities and having all the Viking fans around, he does get the caller that will call in from the other team, and he really handles it well. He always has a really stellar answer.
He really knows how to get under the skin of yours truly and Vikings fans.
Dave Sinekin is the guy that most of our Vikings fans love to hate. He's villain number one.
I would like to say Dave Sinekin is a bloviator, and that he spews nothing but unforeseen and unfounded Packers positivity. But he's actually quite objective when the team is playing poorly and when the team is playing well. And overall, I guess there's a place for him in this market.
Good morning, Packer fans. It's the week 2 edition of Packer Preview on the Sports Leader and the home of the Vikings, the Fan Radio Network, KFAN.com. I think there's something special about Green Bay because they're one of the original teams. So there's generations of families that grew up with the Packers over the years, whether it's great-grandparents that saw the champions in the 30s, grandparents that saw the team in the 60s, to now the great era that we're in now, from Favre to Rodgers. The smallest market in professional sports is able to have a burgeoning organization that's really built a city. It's just a unique story that you can't find anywhere else. And it's this little town of 100,000 that, in this day of multi-billion dollar sports, is able to not only support a team, but have maybe the most healthy organization in all of the NFL.
Rodgers rainbows the middle. Jordy Nelson, he's got it! Touchdown!
I think what makes football special is it's a once-a-week game. And there's sort of vent feel to it, unlike other sports where you look ahead all week long to the big game on Sunday. It just had a grander feel than other sports. My dad grew up in St. Paul in the 40s and 50s, and there were no Vikings then, so everybody here was a Packer fan. He met my mom, a Milwaukee girl, and they got married and settled in Milwaukee. He was a Packer fan through and through, as was my mom and her parents, and so I had no choice. Nobody does. You're born in Wisconsin. The love of the Packers is ingrained in you.
I grew up in Milwaukee with both my brothers. Grew up in Packerland, and we had no choice but to be Packer fans. We spent every Sunday at my grandma and grandpa's house watching the Packers together.
Sundays meant watching the Packers at grandma and grandpa's house. It was a tradition where we'd have brunch, we'd watch the game.
Quarterback Bart Starr directed them to the Oakland 32-yard line.
I did not play football. I was never very gifted as an athlete. I like to cover football. I like to write about football. That was always my thing. As a high school kid, I wrote for the student paper. I did that in college as well. I was always on the journalist side of things. It was the early days of the radio station, and it was the early days of sports talk radio, so I don't think there were a lot of kids necessarily thinking this is something I want to do. It's obviously an entirely different world today, but back then, I was sort of the anomaly. I was interested in that sort of stuff. So I approached KFAN shortly after I moved to the Twin Cities. I said, if you ever need help, anybody to do a sports report, I'd love to do it. So within a couple months, I was filling in on the weekends, and things kind of mushroomed from there as I had a weekly show the next spring. It's funny, after a month or so on the air, the idea clicked that, man, there are a million Packer fans in the Twin Cities, and it would be amazing if they give me an hour to do a Packer show on this station, just to fill the need Packer fans have to hear about their team.
I don't think there's another station in the country that would put a rival show on their station.
This Packer preview that runs on a Viking station in a Viking city, in a Viking state, is the only one like that. I'm not aware of any other show of a competitor that airs in a cross-state flagship or broadcast. So this is a little unusual.
I think the only way to get to the bottom of it is to recognize without that radio show, Dave Sinekin has no identity. So we permit the show more so as a favor than the fact that it's actually a good show, because quite honestly, it's not.
People listen in. You know, ratings are everything. No matter if it's at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, it used to be 9 o'clock, you're getting people to listen to the show.
Well, I like listening to Dave because he does his homework all week long. We can tune in, get debriefed in an hour. Who's our opponent? What are the matchups? He does all that behind-the-scenes homework. It's always accurate.
I've had my radio show for 21 seasons. We started in 1996, which was the Super Bowl 31 season with Brett Favre. So it's a perfect year to start Packer Preview. So the Super Bowl was in New Orleans, and we couldn't get a flight. We couldn't get a hotel, so we scrambled. We rented a car. We found a little home where a woman was willing to let us rent the home for the weekend. We got invited to an NFL alumni dinner the night before the Super Bowl, which meant we needed tuxes. So we stopped in Memphis, found a tux shop, and rented tuxes and drove back down to New Orleans. It was an amazing weekend. I did Packer Preview from the lobby of the Hilton, where it was sort of Super Bowl headquarters back then. And it was just a surreal moment that my entire life, the idea of the Packers being a Super Bowl was something far out. It happened before. Will it ever happen again? Here we are. It's Super Bowl Sunday. I'm doing a radio show for my Packer fans in the Twin Cities. It was magical. It was just an amazing weekend and one I'll never forget. I remember right after the game, after the Packers had won, we were hugging anybody around us. It was just a massive hug-a-thon. And I walked out and saw a crowd of people around somebody. It was like a moving crowd of people. I'm like, I wonder who that could be. Some short person. I couldn't tell who it was. I just bought my Packer Super Bowl hat, and I looked, and it was Ray Nitschke, my all-time favorite Packer, in the middle of this group of fans, signing whatever he could sign. And I got him to sign the bill of my hat. And then it was off to Bourbon Street. I mean, talk about a trifecta. Packers win the Super Bowl. I meet Ray Nitschke. Then I get to party on Bourbon Street. I'm done. What else do I need to do? It's over. That's as good as it gets. Well, the second year of Packer Preview, the Milwaukee Journal approached me during Packer Viking Week and said, we heard you doing this show, a Packer show on the Vikings at a Minneapolis station. So it was really the first chance for Milwaukee and for the Wisconsin sports fans to realize, wow, there's one of us, a Milwaukee guy, over there across the border doing a Packer show in Viking land. And so it was neat for me to know that it was getting out there a little bit. I look at this picture every day at work. As a Packer fan, the Ice Bowl, it gives you goosebumps because it's one of those plays that will never be forgotten. And I'll bet there are literally thousands of Packer fans that stare at this picture as often as I do. Back when I first conceptualized the show and I tried to figure out a way to make it different, I wanted to personalize it and let fans here know why this team's important to me. Well, why was this team important to me? It starts with my grandma, Dorothy. That's my earliest memories of the Packers, are being with her watching those games. I would say my grandma was the biggest fan. She was such a fan of the Packers. She would tape Packer games during the season just to have them for March, April, May when she missed football. She could throw them in the machine and watch the games because she missed watching the Packers play. She was a huge Packer fan. So I asked her one day, Graham, I'm doing this show on the radio, and I'd love you to be a guest every week. Come out at the end of the show and just tell me who you think's going to win and why. And at first she was questioning, well, why would anybody want to hear what I have to say? And I said, Grandma, so many people have Grandma Dorothy's in their lives, whether it's a grandma, a father, a grandpa, an uncle, a sister. They all have relatives that they share this team with. And you're that person for me. Didn't say this to her, but you're almost 90 and you're adorable. And I know you'll be terrific. She did it. She said, if you think it's okay, I'm happy to do it. Well, once she was on once, it was over. The letters, the people on the street that would say, oh, I have a Grandma Dorothy, or I used to have a Grandma Dorothy. It just brought back so many memories for listeners that could relate to the life I had. Growing up, the Packer game was an event. Your grandparents, your parents, you were all together. And the fact that my grandma was around to talk about the game still resonated with so many fans that she quickly became a favorite here in the Twin Cities.
Oh, hi, David. How are you?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm fine.
Are you excited? Are you nervous? Excited. What are you feeling this morning?
For this very last and most exciting game. It's just can't hardly wait.
Yeah, you got to count down about 7 hours. What are your plans today, Graham? Are you watching it at home?
I'm watching it at home, and I'm watching with both eyes, both ears.
Yeah, I suppose. No distractions.
No distractions, no. The Packers should win. They're a better team in every way.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing worries me is that artificial turf.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's been the one stumbling block. But, you know, we did it in Detroit. We handled it. We handled it.
It's really just so exciting, and I they should win. They should win. I want to say a very happy, healthy, and wonderful year for all my friends in Minneapolis.
Well,
my last time on the air.
Yeah, everybody here, I think, has taken to you, Graham, and I know they wish you the same thing. It's been.
I know I wish you were my grandma.
That's very nice to hear.
It's been a lot of fun talking to you every Sunday, Graham, and I know we're going to do it again next season.
Hopefully, God willing.
Yep.
When Grandma Dorothy started voicing her predictions on the radio shows on Sundays, her name, Grandma Dorothy, started to become a little bit more well-known as the weeks and the months and the years went by. And in Milwaukee, people started recognizing who she was.
She was a highlight of the show for the first 5 seasons. There's no question. She actually passed away the night before a Packer-Viking game in December. So as you can imagine, that next morning, that was a difficult day to host a Packer show. The usual pomp and circumstance and cockiness that I like to bring out before a Packer-Viking game was definitely muted. It was the toughest day I ever had to do Packer preview. But I got through it, and the fans were unbelievable.
All of us listeners were really sad when Dave came on the air and he told us his grandma had passed away the night before. And that given day, he did no prediction at the end. It was just a moment of silence. And it was sad because we all got to know her. And I tell you, if I'm watching football in my 90s, which I hope to be, I want to be as spry and as knowledgeable as she was really neat.
The next week or two, the mountain of letters I got from listeners explaining what Grandma Dorothy meant to them was beyond touching. Not only did it help me, it helped my mom cope with losing her mom, and to see the love and the what people felt about Grandma Dorothy over the last 5 years was amazing. So it really helped us get through that time.
What's the score today, Graham? Give me the prediction.
I'm giving the Packers 14.
Packers by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah. No, I watched the Patriots. They're not a piece of cake.
No.
But I still think that the Packers are better in every way.
When I'm sitting on that 20-yard line today, I'll be thinking about you.
Oh, that's great. Please call me when you get home. I want to hear all about it.
I sure will. Enjoy the game, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. My love, honey.
All right.
Bye, dear.
Gives me goosebumps to hear her voice. It's 16 years ago we lost her, and you don't hear it very often, so it gives you goosebumps.
I think when David found out that he was having a son, he already envisioned him in everything green and gold. That was something that he was very excited about.
David and I have 3 kids. We have Jackson, 13, and Allie and Dylan, twins that are 11 years old.
I'm Jackson. I'm 13 years old. My favorite football team is the Minnesota Vikings because everybody that I really know likes the Vikings except for my dad's side of the family. So I've just kind of been taught to like the Vikings, and I'm from Minnesota, so that always helps.
I have a couple of nephews who are identical twins who are about 5 or 6 years older than Jackson. Huge Viking fans. He was with them all the time, and they completely brainwashed him.
I get a lot of enjoyment out of the fact that Jackson is a Vikings fan because it just was meant to be that, you know, he rebelled before he's even 13.
I used to like the Vikings.
Dad convinced him.
All you need to know, my dad. On my dad's blog, my dad has a little section that says Convert Jackson, and it's where people that are on his website, they can email him and say why I should become a Packer fan or why I should stay with a Viking fan. It's just kind of cool reading them sometimes. Like, my dad will show me some of the funnier ones. The best part about Sunday is watching football with my dad and having competitive rivalries.
Football time is family time, absolutely. Teaching the game to my kids, explaining the game to my kids, smack talking with my kids. You can't trade that for anything. That's as good as it gets. And I treasure these years because I know eventually they're going to move out and move on, and it'll be quiet again on Sundays. Paul Allen came here as a horse track announcer and came to be the horse announcer at Canterbury Park. And he joined the Fan kind of the way I did. He wanted to get into radio, and he filled in a little bit and did some sports reports. And then I think the Fan certainly saw the talent. So they gave Paul Allen and Jeff Dubé that 9 to noon time slot. And those two guys became ratings juggernauts in this town. Just huge fans of the Purple. Just rah-rah cheerleader fans of the Purple.
David and I never really have gotten into it about Packers and Minnesota Vikings rivalries or anything. David and I have been friends for 20 years, but at times it can be a tenuous relationship because of his blind dedication to his favorite team.
Every Packer week, I join him at Buffalo Wild Wings for the final two segments of his show, and it gives me a chance to really, I kind of liken it to being Rowdy Roddy Piper back in the 80s, back in the old WWF days. I walk into that Buffalo Wild Wings, and you start hearing the murmuring and the booing, and it gets louder as people see me walking through the restaurant, and I do feel like the bad guy walking into the ring. It's an amazing feeling.
When David came by one time to Buffalo Wild Wings, I believe, Crystal, it was before the final game of the 2012 season, and the Vikings had to win the game at home to get into the postseason. So we had this big chant going all show, win and in, win and in. You know, then the chant transpired to the Packer fans with sin-a-kin. So then I got all the fans riled up. There were little foamy footballs that were delivered, and Vikings fans just started pelting him with the foamy footballs. And one hit him in the eye. And I felt badly for him at the moment until I realized he wasn't actually hurt. Then I thought it was like one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life, and I almost implored them to throw more.
Dave Sinekin's a really good sport about the hard time he gets from Vikings fans, including all of us in the office. He knows that he knows he's a lone wolf in this building, and in some ways a lone wolf on the radio.
I love being in enemy territory. I love talking to Paul on a Monday after a Packer victory. The segments tend to be a bit shorter after the Packers win. He likes to try to take me down after a loss and make me just go through my feelings and how that felt to lose. But generally, when the Packers win, it's a shorter segment because he doesn't want to hear about how great we are and how well we played and how excited we are. That's not what he wants. He wants the misery. He loves to try to bring us down. That's what he knows his Viking fans want to hear. But as I said, generally, he's got to put up with success because we've had a lot of it.
He always has them in the Super Bowl. Dave always thinks that everything the Packers do is the right move. Dave is not objective in any way. He doesn't pretend to be objective. We don't think of him as objective. He might say that he's objective, but there's no chance he is. He's a Packers fan, and he speaks with a Packers fan point of view.
So you're dealing with somebody who is a fan, and the fact that I actually work with a National Football League team. I work with these players, I work with these coaches, the vice presidents, so therefore I have deeply rooted relationships. I have a stake in it. The only stake he has is in his stomach when he's watching a Green Bay Packers game.
He'll say my club, and you know, when he's talking to a producer or a different host, he'll say my club versus your club.
That pronoun we irritates Viking fans like nothing else. What we, your team? Do you play? Do you put a uniform on? Of course not. Am I an owner? Yes. Do I own a share of stock? Yes. Do I have a millionaire owner that might make some decisions I'm not happy about? No, I don't, because there are thousands of owners. And there's a board that makes those decisions. It's a different organization. We feel like we're part of the team.
Supposedly, Dave did the show from the hotel room. We have equipment that would allow him to do that. And he did that in his boxers. He'll take the show wherever it needs to go. He will be live no matter what it takes. I think the show could be on at 3 a.m. and Dave would still do it. And all of his fans that call on each week, I think they would still call in no matter what the time is.
Dave from Shakopee goes back to the beginning of Packer Preview. Huge Packer fan. He'd be one of those guys that would call the radio station, want to talk about the Packers, and the host would have nothing to do with them. My show came about for guys like Dave from Shakopee.
In those 20 years of Packer Preview, I've missed, I think, three shows. I was running the Twin Cities Marathon, and while I was running is when Packer Preview was on. And because I wanted to still keep my streak intact of not missing a show, I called in from the course while I think I was at mile 12 and a half, and said, and Dave goes, well, where are you? I said, well, I'm running a marathon. He goes, what? I'm running a marathon, but I still needed to call in and get my thoughts of the game this week.
Expert. I don't even know if I'd call myself an expert. I'd call myself a devoted, passionate fan of the Packers who's followed them as long as I live, and I'm just like every other Packer fan around here that loves the team, absorbs everything I can, lives and dies with the team a little bit, but I'm fortunate enough to have that platform to talk about it and be that voice of Packer fans here, cutting through the purple haze and trying to show football fans the light. I can't tell you how many Viking fans have told me, I finally went to Lambeau for the first time. Now I get it. I've heard all the rhetoric and all the blah, 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 what a wonderful place it is. Now I get it. I never hear bad stories. I hear about they treated us like one of their own. They welcomed us. Even though we had the wrong jerseys on, they gave us a brat and a beer in the parking lot, and we kind of get it. We understand it feels like a college atmosphere. It's like stepping back in time a little bit, and when Viking fans see it and feel it for the first time, they come back and say, okay, I get it.